And he said, "Oh Allah, we have seen that in your ghulami, in your servitude, you have made the rank of your servants that they are gone much higher than the angels also." And thereafter he explained about Medina Munawwara, and that when we see the scene of Medina, the geography of Medina, the way the land is made, and just the sight of Medina Munawwara, before even reaching in front of the Rosa itself, it fills our hearts with iman. Then we said, with love and muhabbat and joy, we look at the walls, the doors of Medina Munawwara. Then we said, we come in front of the Rawdah, and then we see even the kings of this world, their kingship, it disappears in front of the Rawdah. And then we see people holding onto that scarf or the cover. So although the guards don't allow it, and it shouldn't do it also, it's out of bi-adabi. But we see certain people holding onto that cover, and when we see them, then we see from their eyes tears are coming out. She was explaining about Medina Munawwara and the effect that it has. And then he ends off on this here, that he says, we have seen the effects of the cry that we would make in the early morning. And that cry was, "Oh Allah, when can our time come also to present ourselves in front?" He says, "Today I am seeing that effects, that now I am looking at Medina Munawwara." So a person who cries at certain times, and a lot of things happen. So this is one thing to cry for also. When we cry for wealth and we cry for health, cry for afiyat, this is one thing to cry, that "Oh Allah, when I can be taken again to present myself in front of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." What came in my mind is, because it is the month of Rajab, and normally in the month of Rajab the issue of Mi'raj is discussed, and although it is well known that the 27th of Rajab was the night of Mi'raj, but that is one view, it's not necessary that it was on that night. Amongst the ulama, there is no certainty when it was. Even the month is not certain, the year is not certain. Because this was that era of Makkah Mukarramah. In Medina Munawwara, every joke of Rasulullah SAW also was recorded. But in Makkah Mukarramah, it was an era of hiding. It was an era of avoiding. It was an era of not showing. Even the salah was not performed openly. Umar radiallahu anhu accepts Islam, then he pushes the Muslims into the haram to perform salah. So in Makkah Mukarramah, whatever new thing would happen, where in Medina Munawwara the news would spread like fire, in Makkah Mukarramah the news would not spread. It was very hard to spread the news. That is why if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given a choice after the Mi'raj, he would have felt that rather I don't explain the Mi'raj. Because on the explaining of the Mi'raj, many people who had accepted Islam, their Islam was put through a test. It was an imtihan which we will never imagine today, because we grew up living in a maktab or in a madrasa, and the first thing we learned is Mi'raj, Mi'raj. So when your mind is made up, then the impossible becomes possible, and very simple. You'll wonder why people couldn't believe. But bring yourself back into that era, where just the other day you have a friend who has now become a Nabi of Allah, and everyone is opposing him, and you that small peak. And now whatever he is saying, it's creating mock and laughter all around. And now the news comes out of something that even a believer can't believe in. It is something that we might say, what's so hard about it? The Mi'raj, this happened, that happened, that happened. But put yourself in that era, which Quran says, we made this Mi'raj an imtihan of iman. For which reason Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became known as Siddiq. We might think it was a very small thing when the people came and told him, now what your friend is saying, now what you will say. And he said, what is he saying? He says that he has been taken in a part of the night. Forget the Mi'raj, they were not even speaking about the heavens. They were just joking about the issue from Makkah Mukarramah to Sham. They were not even bothered about after that way he went. That was beyond even this point. It was a joke. Can one man make a journey so far? At that time, people had to keep quiet. Maybe we heard wrong, maybe it was misunderstood. Allah's Nabi couldn't have said that. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, at that time, he could also have said, let me ask him what he saw first. And then after, when he says, "Oh Allah's Nabi, did it really happen?" Allah's Nabi would say, "It happened, O Abu Bakr," then he will come, "I believe in it." That was a normal iman. And that was also strong iman. But what a level was built of his iman, that the impossible for him was not only possible, it was like nothing. So when they said to him, that, "Can you believe it?" He only asked one question, "Did my friend say it?"
finished. On that he became known as Siddiq. But that Siddiq title shows that it wasn't an easy thing to affirm to the truth of. It was a very hard thing. That is why the laqab came, that you are a man who immediately speaks regarding the truth that I believe in it. You got no doubt at all, Siddiq. So in the maktab, a lot of issues of Mi'raj we would have heard, learnt, but because the years pass, many points are forgotten. And the main thing is that every issue which had to do with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially when it's mentioned, will come in Quran. You must understand that it leaves a message till Qiyamah. So the Mi'raj should never ever be looked at that it was a issue that happened, and for us it serves no meaning now. Every verse of Quran carries a meaning now till the day of Qiyamah. And Mi'raj, now Quran spoke about it in the beginning of the 15th juz of Quran. It starts off like how he says, Subhanallah. So this ayat starts, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdi. That glory be to Allah. Meaning something huge this was. And in this huge thing was a huge lesson for the entire world. Glory be to that Allah who took his servant in a part of the night from one masjid to a very far masjid. And thereafter, where and where he went, for the purpose of showing him and showing the entire ummah the signs of Allah. So regarding that day, many books have been written about the Mi'raj. Mawlana Idris Khan Dehlavi rahimullah, when he wrote his Sirat, which is called Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which the madrasa has translated also. So in here, in great detail, he explained the Mi'raj. My desire was certain points you will just mention, go through, and we will see what type of lesson the Mi'raj left for the ummah at this time also. So the first thing was when the Mi'raj occurred. Ulama are not really certain, but majority of them have given indication that they prefer this opinion, that after the issue of Taif, which we all know Taif. Taif was like now the push after the push after the push. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going through torment and torture and difficulty in Makkah Mukarramah. It was no easy thing. And the manner that they were going about. Until finally when the Quraysh could not stand it anymore, then they say that the Banu Hashim, which was like the main clan in the entire tribe, they say that the Banu Hashim, we will now tell them, we don't want Cholya. If you all want to remain in Makkah Mukarramah, you all have to give over this boy. And let us do with him what we want to do. Otherwise you all stop him. If you all can't stop him, you all don't want to give him over, then we are not going to allow you to live in peace. And after all of them got together and they made this treaty, this was what is called Taif. Then wherever they would find a man of the Banu Hashim, a woman of the Banu Hashim, a child of the Banu Hashim, anywhere they would mock at him, taunt at him, hit him. Muslim or non-Muslim, you of the tribe, you're not wanted. He would come to the market to buy, they say, we don't want to sell to you. Someone would come with a proposal, say, Banu Hashim, get lost. Food was difficult, walking was difficult, talking with anyone was difficult. If you caught talking to a Hashimi, you're going to have problems. Finally, the Banu Hashim felt the only thing we can do to protect ourselves also is to get together. That each one can be a barrier for the other, so that no one hits, no one punches, no one abuses. And for that, they found the best place to go was to move backwards out of the area, so each one can protect the other. And Abu Talib's main desire was that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could be most protected. But you must remember, during those 3 years in that valley, one was the difficulty that everyone was going through. One is the heart of a Nabi, which is very delicate. And now one is a Nabi himself is tortured. One is the Nabi sees that his ummati is being tortured on Islam. And one is a Nabi sees that another man, not even because of Iman and Islam, is being tortured just because he's of the family of a Nabi. And the torture was so severe that it wasn't hitting men and women. They mentioned the children's cries would reach Makkah Mukarramah. And the only reason why the treaty came to an end at the end was not that the people in this clan of the Banu Hashim couldn't manage anymore, but it was the people of Makkah Mukarramah, whose hearts were still hard with kufr, they could not manage hearing the cries anymore. They couldn't take it anymore. The cries were becoming too unbearable. So you can understand that hardship reached its heights. That the people who were doing the hardship, they also at night would turn this way, they would turn that way. Some would say, I'd rather go to somewhere else, I'm not going to stay in Makkah, I can't manage it anymore. Like that it carried on. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now comes out of Taif. That was hardship after hardship. They mention after Taif, where he thought now at least that one problem has gone, the next problem happened. And that was the death of Khadija radiallahu anha. And that itself was very hard, one pillar fell. And Abu Talib, he passing away was not a pillar of Islam passing away which hurt the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But it was my uncle who did everything for me. He passed away without iman. So I can't thank him tomorrow. So that was what you call now, I'm seeing difficulty after difficulty, and a person who says doors were not opening. No doors, every door was closing. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is carrying on. Understanding that the door when it opens very wide. But before the door opening, no matter what happens before, that the results you will see after. The ulama explained that that was the time when this mi'raj took place. And in this mi'raj was appreciation of what and what you have gone through for Islam already. That was one. That Almighty Allah appreciates. And where no one now is going to go for mi'raj anymore. Because it's beyond man's capacity to be taken. But the message was given to the entire world. That how Allah appreciated and showed it to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah appreciates your qurbani also. And everyone goes through some qurbani. And our problem is that we become despondent and depressed when we feel others don't know what I'm going through. And when you come to tell other people of your condition, no one wants to hear your sad story. Everyone got his own sad story. You just have to mention, if you're in good times, everyone will listen to you. We're going for a holiday now, I got a free ticket, you want to come with, then everyone is your friend. But if business hits a bad turn, then your friends are still your friends, but they don't want to hear your story because they know at the end of the story you're going to say, can you help me out? And no one's going to help. That's when man goes angry. He becomes angry with the world, irritated with the world. Then he says, they were my friends when they needed me. So all of that day is because man doesn't understand that one eye is still looking at him. And that is an appreciating eye the rest of the world can never appreciate. Be wafa. But when man looks at the world for thanks, appreciation, and he doesn't find it. So qurbani is appreciated by Almighty Allah. And how Allah Tawarakullah showed it physically to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it will be shown spiritually to every single person. Almighty Allah keeps him in that condition. Your qurbani is appreciated. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimullah, when he was making qurbani for the khidmat of Quran, and when they wanted him to say that Quran is a created thing, and beyond that was many other issues that were going to start, which he was well aware of. Today for us it might seem like a trivial thing. What was this issue? But the issue of creation of Quran, is it created or is not created, was not a small thing. Beyond it was an entire plan to break every aqidah of Islam. That is why ulama have written that this issue of khalq-e Quran, the making up of Quran, was taught by the very man who tried to poison Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He taught it to his son-in-law. His son-in-law went, it carried on. It came out in the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. That was years after, years. Now you understand what a story it was. So much of effort was made on this khalq-e Quran. We won't understand it today because it's dead and buried. No one will bring it up. But the world of shaitan, they made so much of effort on this issue that show the world Quran is created. It is not an uncreated speech. And once the ulama were going to say, this is a small issue, never mind, it is created, not created, what difference does it make? On that, every aqidah of Islam was then going to be torn to pieces. Every aqidah. And that is why the government was used to force this one belief down the throats of people. And it seemed a very trivial issue. You don't fight for things like this. You say, don't argue about it. Something small. But Allah Tabarakallah inspired certain people that said, no matter what, on this small issue, we're going to stay up till the end. They never stopped. And then everyone knows that what and what he went through.
But he would say one thing afterwards when that imtihan was finished, that every night I would see Allah tabaruk ta'ala in a dream. And I would be asked, "Oh Ahmed, how are you today?" That appreciation happens whenever qurbani takes place. Whenever it takes place. So mi'raj, one of the things he taught was appreciation. Allah appreciates qurbani. Ulama explained that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting in a house. Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, Kail alayhi salam came, the entire roof opened, they came through and the roof closed. This Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed, and he was Allah's Nabi, but man is man also, you become amazed. Although you know everything can happen, but against the system it does amaze. So it left him like shocked, how the roof opened and closed. But in that was the indication that your chest also has opened many times in the past, it's going to open again. And as the roof closed so nicely, yours would also close just as nice. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest had already been cut open a couple of times, so that was no like new thing that was going to happen. He was taken to around the haram, near the Kaaba, and thereafter that dish of zamzam was brought, and that Mubarak heart now was prepared. And it was filled with what is called now iman and wisdom. But really it was filled with that power now, which was going to make it powerful enough to now view a world which is beyond the capacity of a human body. It was going to make this human body, what we will call, to grab hold of not only the angel world, but even beyond the world of angels. Which will come that a time came where Jibreel alayhi salam took one step back. And at that time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell into sajda. The power of that. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself went ahead, Jibreel alayhi salam did not even come. That power. So that heart was made. And thereafter that buraq was brought. And like how we learnt in madrasa, as soon as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on the buraq, it started like, the words of the narration is, it started showing an attitude. But ulama have explained, really it wasn't an attitude. It was like one time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing on Mount Uhud. In that happiness of having a Nabi, Mount Uhud, not understanding I'm a mountain. And a mountain can't start going like this here. Because if a mountain goes like this, everyone on the mountain is gone. But the mountain, at that time in thrill, moved. And when it moved, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately said, "Oh Uhud, stop. On you is a Nabi, on you is a Siddiq, on you are two Shuhada, what are you doing?" But the mountain was not trying to get them off. A mountain, when you have to show happiness, how else is going to show happiness? So he moved, he forgot, "I'm a mountain, I'm not supposed to move." At that time the buraq, in the thrill of being the conveyance of the greatest of creation, ulama have written, it danced. And not understanding that a dance of a buraq can throw the rayad afar. So Jibreel alayhi salam put his hand and said, "Hey, don't you know the greatest of creation is riding?" And the whole buraq started perspiring. That what did I do? I must understand that I have to take a careful ride, one move, and I can harm someone. And then the buraq set out. So this was an entire journey of izhar of the qudrat of Almighty Allah, every part. But what was it a message for the world? The message of the for the world was, remember, nothing is beyond the qudrat of your Creator. Nothing. What you can never imagine, Islam starts there. A lot of people say, "This I can't understand." That's the meaning of Islam. The beginning of Islam is what you can't understand. One student the other day asked me some questions regarding atheism. And a lot of like objections certain of his friends mentioned in America, and how do you give answers, Canada? Because they'll mention this point, they'll mention that point. So the first point I told him, before we came to the answers, the first thing I told him is, you have to understand what is Islam. Islam means الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. That those people who believe in those things that no mind can ever understand. That's Islam. Your friends want to become a Muslim after understanding. That Islam will happen in the qabr. Where the whole world will say, "Now we understand." On the day of Qiyamah, أَسْمِعْ بِهِمْ وَأَبْصِرْ. Almighty Allah says, now they will see very well. Now they will understand very well. But too late. Too late. Lot of people today want to understand and then accept. Our deen is based on what is beyond the understanding. وَرَاءُ الْأَقَلْ.
Then I explained to him that what Quran mentioned in this is signs for people of understanding. In this are signs for people of understanding. Those were the signs which are simple signs. Almighty Allah says, don't you see the sun rising? Who made it rise? Don't you see the moon? Don't you see the sky? Simple, simple things which anyone can look at. And once you look at those things and you accept, after you accept, now Islam starts. What is Islam? Now all those things are going to mention to you which you can never understand. And you say, I believe in ghaib. Whatever is beyond understanding, my Allah is beyond. So every action of my Allah is beyond understanding, beyond. And I have accepted it totally, fully, without any need to be told what does it mean. Our Iman and Islam is regarding Jannah which we have never seen, you can never imagine. You have been told in Jannah there are hoors. So you ask, what's a hoor? So you will be told, like a woman but better than a woman. At least you know the meaning of woman. What happens if you are told about in Jannah there are things more unique than hoor? So you will say, what? So I will say, I don't know, because there's no word made for it. And if a word was made for it, you'll ask, what does this word mean? You'll say, there's no like made for it. Our mind can only understand what it has seen. It can understand mirrors. Whatever has come in front of our mirror, our mind, now someone can say, okay, add an ear to this, add a hand to that, add a pretty face to that. So we say, okay, I got an understanding. Hey, hoor is unique. It's like my wife, but she's not cheeky, she's not angry. You can understand. What about those things that there is no misal for it? There's no like. So the beginning of Jannah is what we have heard about for years and years. That's the beginning. After that, Jannah starts, which Quran mentions, the beginning of Jannah is وَأُتُوبِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا. That the first fruit you will see in Jannah, you'll say, yeah, I know this fruit, in the world I had it. And once you taste it, you'll say, this is something else. So Almighty Allah will say, we just made it look like that. Now Jannah will start. The proof of this is when man will say, oh Allah, we don't know what to think about. Because the mind can only think of things that it's used to. So Almighty Allah will take man to the markets. The markets will show him what other things there are to think about which never came in your mind before. Because there was no like for you in this world. Then you will say, hey, this is something to think about. That's something to think about. Think about South Africa or the world 70 years ago. And you tell an old man, think about something, what you want. He might have thought about, I want one phone. That wherever I'm walking, I can speak. You could have told him today, don't think of the phone. Think about a phone. Wherever you walk, you can do business. You can send money. You can see what's happening in your house. Now you say, hey, you're going too far. He would never have thought of it because there was no like. When the like comes, now you start thinking further. But then you got a limit. Jannah starts and then goes beyond limits. Jahannam is beyond understanding. On this night of Mi'raj, the things which were beyond understanding, Almighty Allah gave you mirrors of it now. For which reason it's mentioned, the amount of knowledge this ummah has regarding the life of the grave, Jannah and Jahannam, no other madhab was ever blessed with. Because no Nabi was ever taken into Jannah, Jahannam and brought back to explain to the world, what did I see? Whatever came through wahi was explained, but an eyewitness account was never given. This is the first ummah who have got the details of the entire world. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took off. The journey was made from Makkah Mukarramah to Sham, which was an impossible journey, but in the language of Almighty Allah, there is no world called impossible. But in that was an indication to the ummah, that as the journey which is impossible is by Allah very possible. Similarly, the conquest of Islam which will spread from Makkah Mukarramah and go all the way to Sham. You might think today it's impossible, look at what the Muslims are suffering. They don't even have 2-3 people to stand up. Where are you talking about Sham going to be conquered? That Allah who could take his Nabi to Sham will take the entire Ummah also. And in that was a message to the whole world. When Allah wants your Islam to spread, it will move everywhere. How your Nabi could move there, no time could stop him. No barriers could stop him. Time couldn't stop. The Ummah will also move in that manner. And that's what's happening at the present moment. No matter how much of effort is made, that Islam doesn't carry on moving, Islam carries on moving.
it makes its own mi'raj, it makes its own isra. It moves and it defies time, it defies logic, it defies everything. So that indication was made that in our language of Islam, there is nothing beyond possible. Everything is possible and it's going to happen. On that journey, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped at different spots. The spot where Isa alayhi salam, Bayt al-Laham, what we will say, Bethlehem today. Jibreel alayhi salam said, perform salaya. The house of Nabi Shu'ib alayhi salam. And a few other, the place where Nabi Musa alayhi salam spoke to Almighty Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped, performed 2 rakats of salah. In that was an indication to this ummah that the tabarrukat and the blessings of all the anbiya alayhi salam has been kept for this ummah. The one group will say that, you know what, I'm a Christian, my Nabi is Isa alayhi salam. The tabarrukat of Isa alayhi salam has not been kept for Christians. And the tabarrukat of Nabi Musa alayhi salam has not been kept for Jews. They might have a wailing wall, and they might go to a certain grave, and they might stand around it. For them, Allah Pak has removed barakat. And the barakat of the Anbiya alayhimus salam of all times, in that journey where he stopped at different places, and thereafter when he came to the masjid and all the Anbiya alayhimus salam were made together, was an indication to this ummah that you all have been given that which comes in Quran. Whenever a Nabi was opposed, then Allah Tabarakala will say, Kazzabat, that the nation of this Nabi has denied all the Anbiya. Because denying one Nabi is denying the entire system of Nubuwat. That was the closest that every nation ever came with the Anbiya alayhi salam. But this ummah got that closeness with all the Anbiya alayhi salam from Adam alayhi salam. That every Nabi is tabarruk, barakat, in that one meeting, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it. In that one salah, the barakat of the entire world of Anbiya alayhi salam was taken. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam. Whatever barakat there was kept in every Nabi, in that one majlis, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed it, and thereafter he distributed to the whole world. This ummah has eaten and drunk from the barakat of all the Anbiya of the past. And it's a very unique thing, very, very unique. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be times when a man of this ummah, Allah Tabarakala in his azmat will bring him to the rescue of a Nabi of the previous times. That the Nabi and his qawm will be arguing, and the qawm will say, you are a liar, you never told us what you are telling. And a man from this ummah will be made to walk past. And Allah Tabarakala will say, oh Ahmad, what you got to say in this case? And Ahmad will look at the Nabi and smile and say, oh Allah, the Nabi is speaking the truth. Now you might think it's a small thing, but it's no small thing. For a man of this nation, ummah, to be brought to the help of a Nabi. And then that qawm will say to this man, what you talking? You were not even in that zamana. So the man, this Ahmad will say, I was not in that era, but I read it in Quran. It came on this page. And Quran never speaks lies. And then that man will tell him, get lost, you the biggest of liars. And then in that same gathering, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be brought. And Allah tabarakala in honor of Ahmad will say, oh my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you say of your ummati called Ahmad? Like how we will say Imam Bukhari. What do you say of this Bukhari? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will smile and say that my Bukhari was a man who never spoke lies. What a thing it will be. And then the qawm will be silenced. And then Almighty Allah will say, okay, Bukhari, what do you have to say? So he says, oh Allah, the Nabi is speaking the truth. And a faisla will be made. Different scenes of Qiyamah, but the azmat of this ummah, Allah Tawarukala reserved it in a unique manner. So that was, that on that journey, the barakat of the Anbiya alayhimu salam were brought. To show this ummah will take from the barakat of all. True barakat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches the masjid, Jibreel alayhi salam takes out one like a pig. And he says, here the Anbiya alayhi salam would tie the buraq when they would come to Aqsa. And then he tied the buraq there. Thereafter he comes into the masjid and then salah is ready. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks, now who will perform the salah? This again was that sign of his abdiyat. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never walked in.
and said that all these people have come for my istiqbal, so it's natural that I must go and lead the salah. Because normally when you are the guest somewhere, then the musalla is for yours. But it comes, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rukt. He stood in his place, Jibreel Alayhi Salaam came and said, "Oh Allah's Nabi, they're waiting for you." There was no that thing that I will lead. That abdiyat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was unique throughout the journey. That I am one servant of Almighty Allah. Ja'alani abdan. That's why in the journey, after the journey, throughout the journey, it comes that during this journey, Allah Tabaruk Tala asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that what name would you like that I must, the world must remember you with? What laqab must I give you? That everyone had a certain laqab. One, Dawud alayhi salam was Khalifatullah fil ard. Allah's Khalifa on the earth. Musa alayhi salam was Kaleemullah. Later on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allah has made me Habibullah. But on that night he was asked, what laqab do you want for yourself? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I want the laqab of Abd, the slave of my creator. On that ulama explained that Allah tabarak ta'ala, when he described this journey of Mi'raj, he started it with Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. That glory be to Allah who took abd. What a slave he was and where he took him. What a slave. So the one point I wanted to mention, which was very interesting, was when they gathered in the masjid, then every Nabi, and obviously it would go into great detail, so ulama have gathered the khutbahs that were given at that time of a couple of Anbiya alayhim as-salam, not all of them. Because if all of them had to be gathered, obviously it would be a very, very long discourse. So just to see the different Anbiya alayhim as-salam, what they said, and to see at that time what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And in that there's a great lesson again for this ummah. That how much of shan Allah tabarak ta'ala has given the people of this ummah. So it's mentioned that Ibrahim alayhi salam stood up, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, he started his khutbah with these words. He says, all praise is due to Allah, ittakhadhani khalila, who made me his friend, and who has given me a huge kingdom, wa ja'alani ummatan, qanitan, yu'tam bi, wa anqadhani minan nar, and Allah made me a nation itself, which Quran will mention, inna Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam himself was a nation, meaning was one man, but he had the qualities in him of an entire nation, or he was a man independent of having followers. He himself was a nation. He found support within himself and he could stand up against the whole world. So he says, Allah made me a nation itself, and that I must be followed, and Allah protected me from the fire, and he made the fire for me cool and peaceful. Nabi Musa alayhi salam started his khutbah with these words, all praise is due to Allah. Kallamani taklima, who spoke to me. Wa ja'ala halaka ali fir'aun wa najata bani Israel ala yadayya. And he made the destruction of Fir'aun and the family of Fir'aun, and the salvation of the Bani Israel on my hands. Wa ja'ala min ummati. And from my ummah he has made qawman, a nation, yahduna bil haqq, that will remain and guide others to the truth. وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ, and they will always be just. But look at his words. From my nation he made qawm. He made a group. From my nation he made a group. Dawud alayhi salam said, all praise is due to that Allah who made for me a huge empire, who taught me the zabur, and he made for me lead to melt, and he made subservient to me the mountains, that they will make tasbih with me and the birds. And he gave me unique wisdom and a very, very amazing tongue, that short words filled with a lot of meaning. Sulaiman alayhi salam stood up and he said, I thank Allah who made for me subservient the winds and the jinn, the shayateen, that they would make for me whatever I would want. They would make palaces for me. They would make frames for me, statues for me.
They would make huge cauldrons for me. They would make pots for me. And Allah taught me the talk of the birds. And He gave me from every single thing what I needed. And He made the armies of the shayateen and men and the armies of birds all subservient to my command. And He preferred, gave me preference over majority of the creation. And He gave me a huge kingdom which will never be munasib, suitable for anyone after me. And He made my kingdom a kingdom which was pure and in which there will be no hisab at all for me. So every Nabi spoke about what kamal Allah tabarak ta'ala had given the Nabi. Musa alayhi salam mentioned one point that in my ummah Allah made a qawm. Isa alayhi salam said, I thank Allah who made me kalima, that speech that created me. That it was one kun and I was brought about in the womb of my mother. He made me like Adam alayhi salam, who He created solely from sand, meaning there was no mother and father for Adam alayhi salam. He made my example like that of Adam alayhi salam. Then Almighty Allah said, kun, and we were. Adam was, I was. Allah taught me the book, He taught me wisdom, He taught me the Torah, He taught me the Injil. He made me that I could create from sand something that looked like a bird. I would blow in it and it would become a bird with the permission of Allah. He made in my hands that I would cure the leper, the blind person. I would give life to the dead. He lifted me very high. He purified me. He protected me and my mother from shaitan. Thus shaitan could never find any path to attack us. Again, Isa alayhi salam spoke about what Allah had given him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I thank Allah, arsalani rahmatan lil alameen, who sent me as a mercy to the entire world, kafatan lin nasi bashira wa nadira, a warning to all types of people, anzala alayya al furqan, and who sent the Quran to me, in which is the discussion of every single thing that is needed. Now comes, waja'ala ummati khayra ummah, that I thank Allah who made my ummah the greatest of nations. No Nabi said this in his khutbah. Musa alayhi salam, the most, he said, is from my ummah Allah made a qawm that will remain on the truth. No Nabi at that time said that, I thank Allah, what a nation He gave me. What a nation. وَجَعَلَ أُمَّتِي خَيْرَ أُمَّةِ, He made my nation the best of nations. أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, which has been taken out for the benefit of the entire world. وَجَعَلَ أُمَّتِي هُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ, He made my ummah the last to come in the world, but the highest in martaba in the hereafter. I thank that Allah who opened up my heart for me, شَرَحَ لِي صَدْرِي, and removed this burden from me, He made it easy for me. وَرَفَعَ لِي ذِكْرِي, and He made my mention very high. وَجَعَلَنِي فَاتِحًا وَخَاتَمًا, He made me the seal of nubuwa, He made me the opening to the day of judgment. It was the only khutbah where Rasulullah ﷺ spoke of his ummah. Thereafter is mentioned when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went up to the heavens, and now he traversed all stages, and Almighty Allah now speaks with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again you will see that the mention of this ummah is made again. That Almighty Allah says, قَدْ اتَّخَذْتُكَ خَلِيلًا وَحَبِيرًا, I have made you my beloved, my friend. I have sent you for all people as a warner. I have made sharh sadr for you. I have made your burden easy for you. I have elevated your zikr. Thus I will never be mentioned except that you will be mentioned with me. And immediately after that, and I have made your ummah the best of ummahs, which has been taken out for the benefit of the entire world. I have made your ummah a balanced nation, wasatan. I have made your ummah the highest in martaba in the year after and the last to come in the world. I have made of your ummah, how many times the ummah is being mentioned. What and what honor was given to this ummah, that at that time also, Allah tabarak ta'ala was not speaking what I made you, O my Nabi. But more was the discussion, what a nation I gave you. Which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, on the day of Qiyamah, the first thing I will smile at when I'll see the size of my ummah. That no other Nabi will come with such a huge ummah like this. This ummah itself is unique. I have made certain people in your ummah, their hearts are like the Injil. Anajil means that their hearts are able to hold my divine word. Like how previously tablets were needed to hold the script. When Musa alayhi salam was given the Torah, it came in a tablet. I have made in your ummah people whose hearts will hold a divine word. That holding of the divine word is no easy thing. to become a hafiz of Quran, because it happens so much today, we don't understand. This was mentioned at that time also, that I have made your ummah people whose hearts will hold my word. I have made you of the first of the anbiya who was created, and the last of them to be sent. I have given you sab'an min al-mathani, surah Fatiha. That also was mentioned. Which I was not, have not given to any Nabi before you. Now you can understand what is the surah Fatiha. Then I gave you the ending of surah Baqarah, which is a treasure that comes from under my arsh. That lillahi ma fis samawat amana rasul, which you learn in madrasa. But the value of it we will never understand. People who could see it beyond, they would understand that this is something else, a power beyond powers. I have given you the last few verses of Surah Baqarah, a treasure from under the arsh, which I have not given to any Nabi before you. I have given you Kawthar, that is that water that you and your ummah will drink from. And I have given you 8 things which are unique for you. Number one, Islam. And one is, everyone was subservient in the past, but no nation that was subservient was ever called Muslim. This nation, their name became Muslim. Not only their quality, that a man is Muslim, subservient, his name became, he is a Muslim. This name was never chosen for any nation, it was kept reserved for the people of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is Islam. Thereafter, Hijrat. The Hijrat from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara. Then Jihad, which will be a living thing throughout till the ending. Al-Jihadu Madin ila Yawm al-Qiyamah. 8 things. Islam, Hijrat, Jihad, Salah, Zakah, the fasting of Ramadan, Amr bil Ma'roof, Nahi anil Munkar. And the final one is, I have made you the beginner and the end. That you will start Qiyamah and you have brought an end to Nubuwa. Those 8 things were also mentioned. These are the unique things of this ummah. And it's things that we must take our thrill in. What and what Allah has given. But our izzat lies in those things that were mentioned beyond the skies. In the world that we live in today, we see izzat is in cars, is in computers, is in phones. Our izzat lies in what was mentioned on top. That I have made your ummah like this, I have made your ummah like that. Nowhere you will say, I have made your ummah, they will drive cars. I will make your ummah, they will have unique phones. This ummah is unique in mujahada. This ummah is unique in qurbani, in standing up for the haqq, in jihad, in amal bin ma'roof, in salah, in zakat, in roza. This is the izzat of this ummah, and this will make them stand out on the day of Qiyamah. Thereafter, Rasulullah ﷺ then traversed to different places. Ulama explained that as he went to the heavens, then how he learned in madrasa, he would meet different anbiya alayhimus salam in the heavens. And that wasn't because that Nabi stayed in that level. But for istiqbal purposes, different anbiya were given the chance that you all will go and make the istiqbal of my Nabi. But ulama explained that Allah tawarukala put different anbiya on different levels for certain reasons. What the reasons is, Almighty Allah Himself knows, but they have taken out a few possible. They say it was to give some indication to the Nabi of Allah and to the entire world of certain things that will happen in Islam. Remember, this was the time when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had no hope of finding help and shelter. So as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is taken up, the first Nabi that he meets is Nabi Adam Alayhi Salaam. And that was the best because he was the beginner of the entire thing. But Adam Alayhi Salaam was going to give an indication to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that how I, with my enemy Iblis Shaitan, was removed from Jannah. And I never wanted to be taken out. But after I was taken out, one day I had to be brought back again. So you also, your enemy will be removing you from a land you don't want to go out from, Makkah Mukarramah. But as I returned to where I started, you are also going to return. You're going to come back to Makkah Mukarramah, so make sabr during those few days. It's only going to increase your azmat, it's not going to decrease it anything. So Adam alayhi salam gave that message, and he gave a message to the entire world. A lot of times you will be removed. You will be a nation enjoying times, could be in Syria, it could be in Iraq, it could be in Makkah Mukarramah, it can be anywhere. It could be in your own life, one time you were rich. A time will come where you will be removed from a condition that you enjoyed. It happened with Adam alayhi salam, it's going to happen to everyone. But remember one thing, that Allah who removes you from a condition that you enjoy, when He returns you, He will return you to a much better condition. He's never going to return you to a lower. Adam alayhi salam at that time was not a Jannati. Jannati means a man who earned Jannah. He was a man who was born in a garden. Allah Ta'ala removed Adam alayhi salam from Jannah. And in the world he came and he became a man worthy of Jannah. He cried for Allah, he prayed to Allah, he showed the world how to be obedient to Allah. Now he became Nabi Adam alayhi salam. As long as he was in Jannah, he would not even be called Nabi Adam. The azmat of Adam alayhi salam came when he was taken out of Jannah, and the whole world today will speak of our father Adam alayhi salam. Had Adam alayhi salam not been removed, we would not have been speaking of Adam alayhi salam today. This world would never have come. So many thousands and thousands would not one day be walking into Jannah. So the result after being removed from conditions that you like will always be better than that first condition. But when you come out of it, think of Adam alayhi salam, he also was not happy. But as he returned, everyone is going to return to a much better condition. On the second heaven, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would meet most likely Nabi Isa alayhi salam and Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam were going to give a message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One was that Isa alayhi salam is going to come and he's going to finish this mission of Islam. He's going to take it to that level finally, which is going to be like the cherry on the top, the mujaddid of this ummah at the ending. But the message that he gave at that time is that now you are going to be taken out of Makkah Mukarramah and your enemies are going to change now. Now your enemies are going to become those that were our enemies, which the world will know as the Yahud, the Jew. And in that was a message for the entire ummah also, that your greatest enemy will always be that group which will call themselves Yahud. They will have no link with Musa alayhi salam, but their name will be. They will show that they are linked with Musa alayhi salam. That's going to be your enemy till the ending. And that enemy, that Yahud, is going to cause you untold problems. In those untold problems, one or two things will happen to you. One is you can either become Yahya alayhi salam, who was cut into pieces by the Yahud. They finished Yahya alayhi salam. Yahya alayhi salam's blood started coming out. Bleeding, bleeding, bleeding. Different reasons why he was killed, but in the end of the day, it was the Yahudi Sazish. He was killed at the ending by different people. Actually, another, a man who was not even of the Yahud, had him killed. But behind the whole plot was the Yahud. To get Yahya alayhi salam killed, and what plots they made. And his blood started coming out, bleeding, bleeding, and he couldn't stop. Until one man said that Allah is going to take punishment. And only when so many lives are going to be taken for Yahya alayhi salam, then the blood is going to stop one day. Meaning, what a ma'soom he was. So in this ummah, that Yahud, physically they might not cause the killing, but they'll be behind it like how they were behind the death of Yahya alayhi salam. And they will cause many people to become Yahyas of this ummah also. They will cause a lot of bloodshed. But if you are Yahya, then you're going to land up where Yahya alayhi salam landed up. It's not going to harm you. You're going to go straight into Jannah. Or you will be like Isa alayhi salam, who Allah Ta'ala will protect you against all odds. And the whole world will fall on you, but you'll still remain standing unscattered. And there were many people like that in the past. At the beginning, when Egypt had its first, what is called the attack, not today when you have Muhammad Mursi, which is also a very good man, great man, and we're seeing the attack they're making on him. But at that time when secularism was brought into Egypt, which is called, whether it was Shiism or Modernism, it's all shaitaniyat. And they came to break the entire Egypt of Islam. So at that time there were certain people who stood up to fight against it. One was the famous name that the people know normally, Hassan al-Banna. So those were those people who stood up and they made a great effort to try and push back the shaitani forces. But Allah Ta'ala wanted it. And these people, then they died trying. Among them was one woman also. And she now lived for many years after to tell her tale. So what her tale was, sometimes you don't even want to read it. Because it will make you shiver. Imagine the one who went through that waqiyah. But one example she mentioned, she went through a lot of imtihans. At that time when she stood up against the forces of all the different presidents that came at that time, who were making Egypt what is called the modern Egypt of that era. And what they say that under this police detention, they used to call it Jahannam. They used to call that place Jahannam. Because once you go in, you understand what's going to happen. But she gives one waqiyah. She says the one time when they brought her, it was the beginning of her imtihan. So how the imtihan starts, the first thing is Allah Ta'ala will show already, oh my ummati, I appreciate your qurbani. So she says she has a dream in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Oh Fatima, you are on the truth." The thrill of that dream where your Nabi is telling you are on the truth, remain firm, that opens up now, get ready for imtihan. But we are appreciating it on top. She says she was brought to that cellar and it was dark. And she could only see eyes. And she doesn't know what these eyes are. It was all dogs. Full of dogs. And laughing, those people just pushed her in. She says in the next 15 minutes or what, she just knows that on top of her body, everything is happening. There is barking and there is biting and there is scratching, and she's the middle of dogs. And she says after that 15-20 minutes, they came and they pulled her out, and she was in so much of pain. So much of pain. But when they pulled her out and she's looking at her body, she says, "I can't see one scratch. There was not a scratch on the body." Then she understood that our qurbani is being appreciated on top. That when she was not ready for the first imtihan, Allah tabarak ta'ala put a shield around. How many dogs must have bit into our body that? So sometimes you will be like a Isa alayhi salam, sometimes you will be like a Yahya alayhi salam. Some will die in that mujahada with the Jews. And some will live through it and they'll tell you, "You know, the bomb fell, but nothing happened to me." But whether you are an Isa or whether you are Yahya, you both going to land up in the same place in Jannah. Both are there, on that same level. That istiqbal was given to tell the Ummah one lesson. That where you going to land up, which when Nabi said, Walas, one Sahabi radiallahu anhu, just before passing away, he said, "Walastu ubali hina uqtalu muslima." He said, "You're going to be killed now." He says, "It makes no difference to me as long as I know I'm going to die on Islam. Fi ayyi masra'i, fi ayyi janibin kana lillahi masra'i." He says, "Whether I die on this side, that we won the battle and then I died, or whether I die on that side, that we lost the battle and I died." He says, "It makes no difference to me because I'm dying on Islam." So you can either be an Isa or you can be a Yahya, but you landing up there. But the Yahud, that will be your major enemy. Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam were brought to show. Thereafter, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam was on the third heaven. And in Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, he gave a message to this ummah that, "You know where I was. You know what happened to me. I was an innocent Yusuf. I never do anything to make anyone angry. You will be the same, O Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will be so worried about your own clan, the Quraysh. But the people who you will give your heart to will be the same ones who will stand up to harm you." And that's what happened. Yusuf alayhi salam's brother stood up. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's own family, the Quraysh, till the ending, they were the ones against him. Until finally, conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, they say, "Make maaf." Yusuf alayhi salam said, "As one day my brothers came back to me and asked for maaf, your brothers, the Quraysh, will one day come in front of you also ask for maaf." That is why when finally they came, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's first words was that, "I will say to you all what Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers," because same story happened. But in that he gave a message to the entire ummah also, that you will also be an innocent Yusuf, that you got no fault of yours except the Islam which Allah has blessed you with. I had no fault except the beauty of a Yusuf which Allah blessed me with, and the dream which Allah showed me that we're going to give you honor. I never do anything. But that which Allah gave me caused me to become mahsood, hated by the people around me. And those who I thought are my friends suddenly became my enemies. You all will be the same. You will not do anything. But suddenly you will see people around you who you did so much for. You thought, "My Christian neighbor, I always would smile with them. My Jewish friend, I always used to have akhlaq." But when they turn against you, they'll turn against you with eyes of wolves. But he says, if ever it happens, then remember when Yusuf alayhi salam went to the bottom of the well, that Allah took him to the top. You also will be taken to the top. And as Yusuf became a king, this ummah is also going to become a king. Our place has been written there, whether we see it now while we're alive or we see it after we die. Allah has made the people of this ummah kings. No matter what your enemy tried to do, you are Yusuf till the ending. So Yusuf alayhi salam gave that message. Thereafter, on the next heaven, most likely it was Nabi Idris alayhi salam. Idris alayhi salam, he made indication to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ulama explained of two issues. One was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one was Ummi also. He was unlettered. And amongst the Arabs also, writing and reading was not a common thing. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to Medina Munawwara, the first thing he puts into operation is try and get people who can read, people who can write, because that's the shan of Islam.
But he came to a nation, Arabs, who were not interested. They were interested in the goats and the sheep and the horses. But Idris alayhi salam gave an indication that the ilm and knowledge that will move in your ummah will be such that no previous ummah ever imagined. This will be a ummah of ilm and knowledge. How? Because Idris alayhi salam was the first one who wrote with the pen. So this ummah will be an ummah of the pen. Knowledge will be of this ummah. Knowledge. Which Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahimullah explained that so much of knowledge Allah blessed this ummah with. So much. That Allah Tabarak Ta'ala sometimes will show the knowledge of an alim of this ummah. And it will shine like how someone might say, I think he's a Nabi. Which comes on the day of Qiyamah, certain people will be on such thrones of light that people walking past, you see, we think that's a Nabi. Somebody else says, no, he's just an Ummati. So he explained that day, he says, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Almighty Allah. One man had a dream, Almighty Allah asked Musa alayhi salam in his dream, there is a discussion taking place. So in the dream, Musa alayhi salam is saying, oh Allah, I can't understand what is this Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why are they so high? What's all this high? So in the dream he sees Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, oh Musa, why don't you call one of them? They are all sitting in front of you. So he picks up one person who in the dream, the person seeing the dream understands him to be what later on the world would call Imam Ghazali. So he calls him front and he says, I want to ask you 1-2 questions. That's what's so great about you people? You're all normal people on the ground. Why so much talk? Ummah of Muhammad, Ummah of Muhammad. So this man says to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, what do you want to know? He says, what's your name? So in answering his name, normally you would say Ahmad or Muhammad, but he gives his name and his father, grandfather, and he gives entire lineage right up to Adam alayhi salam. In the dream, he's just carrying on, son of son, right till the ending. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam, after hearing it, says, very good, but I only ask you your name. I never ask you for your whole history. Only your name. So he smiles and he says, but oh Musa, when Allah Tabarak Ta'ala asked you, oh Musa, what's in your hand? Then Allah only asks you what's in your hand, you're supposed to say a stick, but you never say a stick, you say this is my stick. And with this stick I do this and I do that. You gave a long story of your stick, history of your stick. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam said, I said that because I was enjoying the chance to be speaking to my Allah. So why must I give a short answer, give a longer answer? So he said, I gave my whole history because I was enjoying the chance to be with a Nabi of Allah. So in that the man woke up there and he understood what is the ilm of the people of this ummah. Idris alayhi salam made indication. Your ummah will be blessed with knowledge which will shine. And this is what we see all around us. If you have to go and see what students are studying, bring a doctor, bring a lawyer. Everyone will tell you the points that are taught in a darul ulum, because it's taught in a manner that everyone is going through it, fast going through. You will never pick up what it is. Make a boy a hafiz in your house. It's easy to send him to the madrasa and you don't ever know what's happening. But listen to him at home. Now he's a 7, 8, 9, 10 year old boy. As he's reading Quran, the only thing that will come on your lips is you'll say, Alhamdulillah, I can't understand what this Quran is. Then how he's just reading it now, you're thinking he might get stuck here. Yeah, one page is finished, Alhamdulillah. Next page is reading, not getting stuck. Next one. Later on you'll say, okay, he's a 17 year old, 18 year old, he's picturing, he got the meaning in his mind. But when you see that small boy and he's just reading. You wonder what is putting that knowledge in his mind. And then when you go and see what and what things are being taught, and if you have to read the books of ulama and what they wrote, then you will understand Idris alayhi salam said, this ummah is going to be blessed with unique knowledge, Idris alayhi salam. And after Idris alayhi salam, the next heaven, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will meet Nabi Harun alayhi salam. And thereafter will be Musa alayhi salam, and then will be Ibrahim alayhi salam. Nabi Harun alayhi salam was to give a message to this ummah. When Musa alayhi salam left Nabi Harun alayhi salam in charge of the Bani Israel, and he went away to Mount Tur, then there was a man called Samiri, which was like third in charge. And ulama will know his incident. Normally people won't be so aware, which is a big incident. This Samiri was a hypocrite from the beginning. But he remained amongst the Bani Israel sent by shaitani forces. That when you're going to get the chance, this man is going to destroy Firaun. When you're going to get the chance, you must destroy his nation. So there's 2 ways of destroying a nation. One is with force. That force was called Firauniyat. Like what today we have America, we have Britain, we have... These countries are the countries of force. And countries of force normally can kill people, but they can't rob you of your faith.
Samiri was a shaitani power that was pushed into the Bani Israel. For years and years he waited. He was a man of magic. He was a man of mysteries. He was a man of secrets, but he waited for his chance. He brought himself up to a high level to be third in charge of the entire Bani Israel. Third in charge. That when Musa alayhi salam went away, there and there he found the opportunity. It was no small thing he did. First he said, bring all the gold and silver that you people got and put it here. It's very heavy. He gave a fatwa. He told the people, we stole this gold from the people. How can you take this gold with you? So it was a unique fatwa. Even Harun alayhi salam was in doubt. And he said, it makes sense, no problem. You can leave the gold here. It's not allowed for us. We stole it from those people. And thereafter then he had some dust and he threw it. That dust also Harun alayhi salam never know what it was. Because this was a shaitani power. But for that dust to have its effect, he needed the dua of a Nabi. So he asked Harun alayhi salam that you make one ameen to one dua I'm making. And then all of the seer will be destroyed. So Harun alayhi salam said ameen. But he was making no good dua, he was a hypocrite. And suddenly that whole gold becomes a calf. And that calf now starts moving front and back and making it sound. And thousands of Bani Israel fall in sajda. Thousands. In 1 second, one man from within robbed them of iman, which Fir'aun over a period of 20 years couldn't do. 20, 30 years. 1 second, and how many people's iman was snatched? So fast that Harun alayhi salam is telling them, are you all mad? And they telling Harun alayhi salam, if you don't keep quiet, we will kill you also. Stay away. And when Musa alayhi salam comes, then Almighty Allah says, now punishment. That those who never worshipped will have to kill those that worshipped. And those that are worshipped are told, if you don't allow them to kill you, then that act that you did of sajda to a calf after seeing Fir'aun being destroyed, Allah will take you to task in the after. So the Bani Israel said, it's the only way of forgiveness, the only forgiveness. It comes and a father would be standing, and you'll have to see a son coming, he sees the father. And they were told, if you miss a person intentionally, you will also get punished. Now you see your father there, you have to go with the knife into your father. And Musa alayhi salam is sitting one side and he's just crying and he's saying, oh Allah, how much? Forgive, forgive. And after thousands and thousands were brought to the ground, then Allah tabarakura said, bas, now everyone's forgiven. But that 1 second of Samiri robbed so many people of their iman. Because Musa alayhi salam came back, at least their iman got saved after that. The message was given to this ummah that where the Yahud are going to be behind and they're going to inflict terrible tortures upon you. Remember, Harun alayhi salam also saw a Samiri figure. You're going to see Samiri also. That worse than the enemies with force are going to be those enemies who are going to be within you. Who will come in the name of Shia, will come in the name of Qadiani, will come in different names. And they will rob people of their iman. They will not need force. They will do it with smiles. And as Samiri took it, they will take it. And thereafter, Musa alayhi salam was brought to show ghalba has been written for this ummah. That I was one man that stood up against the whole world of Fir'auniyat. You will see America, you will see Canada, you will see Britain, you will see Germany, you will see Russia. You will see the forces of the world. But where one Musa was ghalib over Fir'auniyat, you will also finally be ghalib. You will overpower all types of Fir'auniyat. And on that time, Allah will take you to the heights of fitrat. You will be pure, and that is Ibrahim alayhi salam. And in different other isharas, but now time has gone out. So different messages were given to this ummah, that your mi'raj is also taking place. And you will also have to go through levels. And you will see different difficulties. But finally, your place has been written by the house of Almighty Allah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is there in the seventh heaven. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is showing this is the father of Islam, submission, and that is where your maqam has been written. May Allah tabarakala grant us all understanding. Mi'raj is a unique lesson for the entire world that Allah appreciates this ummah a lot. Allah loves this ummah. Understand our maqam, what Allah has given us, and now look at that Allah. Whatever happens around us, understand our izzah has been written in our uruj to our creator. Subhanallah.